The House will come to order. Please stand if you're able. The flag salute will be led by Representative Jensen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our opening ceremonies this morning will be presented by the Reverend Dr. Jeff Savage. Jeff is the senior pastor of the First Baptist Church of Springfield and has been a longtime friend of mine, active leader in American Baptist churches in Oregon and nationally. Welcome, Dr. Savage.
For God alone, my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from God. With the psalm writer, I invite you into a moment of centering silence. Glory to you, Lord God, you are worthy of praise. Glory to you. You have called all things into being, and you have brought each of us in safety to this new day. Glory to you. May we live this day in a manner that honors you, brings light to the world, and gives life and hope to the people we serve. To that end, grant that we might choose humility over pride, sacrifice over self-interest, service over status, and faith over fear. By your grace and power working in and through us, may each person in this house always endeavor to see you in the other, seek the best for the other, and outdo one another in showing respect and love. Almighty God, you know the great challenges and opportunities we face, and you have created us in your image, blessing every one of us with the capacity to imagine, choose, and create. May each person wisely and responsibly employ these gifts in the service of others, that justice might roll down like the waters, righteousness and mercy might abound, and the common good may be served. Lord, preserve us with your mighty power that we may not stray from the truth, nor be overcome by adversity, and in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose. Now, O God, protect this house and its people till the dawn of the day shall be. God with you protecting, the Lord with you directing, the Spirit with you strengthening, forever and forevermore. Amen.
We will now proceed under courtesies with our moment in Oregon history. Representative Kennemer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. March is Music in Our Schools Month, and the song is Oregon, My Oregon. This sesquicentennial history minute is from the Oregon Historical Society's online educational resources, the Oregon History Project, and the Oregon Time Web. In 1920, John A. Buchanan and Henry B. Murtaugh won an Oregon State Song contest with their entry, Oregon, My Oregon. The Society of Oregon Composers, which sponsored the competition, then planned a campaign to promote the song around the state through performances of all male and all female quartets at schools, universities, and public halls. The State Superintendent of Public Instruction also endorsed the song. In 1927, the Oregon State Legislature officially selected Oregon, My Oregon as the state song. Buchanan, an Astoria City judge, wrote the words, and Murtaugh, a professional musician, composed the music. Many Oregon youth learned the song in their grade school classes. The lyrics of the song glorify Oregon, its settlement history, and its unique landscape. Land of the Empire Builders, and I won't sing the rest, Land of the Golden West, conquered and held by free men, fairest and the best. Onward and upward ever, forward and on, hail to thee, land of heroes, my Oregon. land of the rose and sunshine, land of the summer's breeze, laden with health and vigor, fresh from the western seas. Blessed by the blood of martyrs, land of the setting sun, hail to thee, land of promise, my Oregon. Oregon, my Oregon. Thank you.
Representative Bentz.
Mr. Speaker, it's my privilege this morning to introduce my, and I ask you for to extend courtesies to my first three honorary pages who made the 400-mile journey from Ontario to Salem to watch us today. The first is Marcella Hernandez-Hill-Linklia. You would stand up. Thank you. Marcella is 15. She attends Ontario High School with my son, Scott. I think she does probably far better academically than my son, unfortunately. Her interests are drama, reading to be successful, and she's very active in her faith. She aspires to be an executive assistant or a paralegal. Her sister, Selena, could you stand? Thank you. Selena Hernandez-Hill-Finklia, 13 years old, attends Ontario Middle School. Her activities are sports. Her goal is to, I think, make a 4-point every quarter. Her career goal is to be a physician specializing in OBGYN and delivering babies. Her younger sister is Santiana, who is 12. Hernandez-Hill-Finklia. She attends Ontario Middle School also. Her activities are cross-country math, and she aspires to be a nurse or nurse practitioner. Please extend courtesies to the three of them today. Thank you.
Welcome to our house. I believe Representative Garrett also has honorary pages here today.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a pleasure to have two honorary pages from my alma mater, Jackson Middle School in Southwest Portland. First, Sean McCauley. He's a sixth grader at Jackson. He's interested in lacrosse and basketball, and his career goal is to be a graduate of MIT. And also we have Kelsey McCauley, who's an eighth grader, interested in lacrosse, volleyball, art, and cooking, and her goals are to be a veterinarian or a pharmacist. Thank you both for being here.
We also have students here from Gilkey Middle School. If those of you who are present would please stand and be recognized. Thank you. Welcome once again. Rumor has it that today is the birthday of one of the members of this House, a Representative Chris Harker. Let's extend courtesies to him wherever he is. He's not at his desk where he belongs. Hopefully he's in here somewhere. Further courtesies. Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and happy birthday. Colleagues, please extend courtesies to an intern that's working in my office as well as Chris Edwards' office. He's actually a constituent of Chris Edwards, but he does attend the University of Oregon, which is in my district. He is a senior majoring in political science and from the Junction City area and is planning on attending law school. If you'd stand and colleagues, if you'd extend courtesies to him when you see him in the building. Thank you. Casey Radostitz.
Welcome. And Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Happy birthday. Colleagues, I'm very pleased to have with me today, and I hope you extend courtesies to my youngest son and my top political advisor, Christopher George Buckley. Please stand up, Christopher. Just going to give a little wave there. And I'm also joined today by, as much as I love spending time with all of you, the person I most love spending time with is my beloved wife, Joan Langley, is here on the side aisle as well. So please extend courtesy of the House to Joan Marie Langley. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Nice to have you here. And Representative Kennemer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and happy birthday again. And I have today as my guests constituents of Representative Schaffler. They were here visiting on a couple issues, Mayor Rob Wheeler and Mrs. Wheeler from Happy Valley. Would you please extend courtesies on the South Aisle over there? Thank you, Mr. Mayor, nice to have you with us, and Robin as well.
Good to have you here. Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm being followed, Mr. Speaker. I'm being shadowed today. And the future of this individual's academic career rests on his day with me. It's a requirement. Mr. Speaker, you can comment if you'd like.
I'm resisting, sir.
Happy birthday, and will you please welcome my shadow, Lucas Breen, who is a sophomore at McNary, and welcome him today. The representative from the Dunes has already welcomed him with a state pin, and I look forward to spending the day with Lucas. I have one more guest, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to direct your attention to the side aisle, where Mary Catterly is with us today. Now, you've seen Mary Catterly in TV and movies. Most recently, she was in Men of Honor with Robert De Niro. She played a jazz singer. And the reason she played a jazz singer is due to her musical talents. Mary is on the faculty at PSU and at Portland Community College. She's a recording, performing, and teaching whirling singer. And, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to have her come back before we adjourn in June and share that talent. But please, for today, welcome Mary Catterly.
So nice to have you here. I don't know that I have the authority to grant that visit in the future, but it certainly has appealed to me. Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm asking you to extend courtesies to a constituent and a teacher in my district, Bonnie Robb. Bonnie is on the North Isle. Would you stand, Bonnie, and allow me to say a few words about this very special individual. Bonnie is a teacher at the Clark K-8 school at Binsmead School in Southeast Portland. And last year, colleagues, Bonnie was awarded the Milken National Educator Award, which came along with an unrestricted $25,000 check as well as national recognition. She's a first grade teacher. 40% of her students are English language learners, and 80% are on free or reduced lunch. Over 80% of her students have met or exceeded state benchmarks after a year in her class. And last week, colleagues, I received a letter from a parent in her class, a parent who's also visiting with us today, who described the success that her son has experienced as a student of Bonnie's, in becoming a confident learner who's reading and writing at grade level and is excited to attend school each day. That letter called Bonnie a one-of-a-kind teacher and makes the important point that we need more and more extraordinary people entering our teaching ranks. And so glad to welcome Bonnie and her husband Mark to the state capitol today. Thank you and congratulations.
Welcome. Representative Harker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like you, colleagues, to welcome my wife, extend courtesies to her, Georgia Harker, here for the day. Thank you. Thank you. Representative Krieger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hope that you would all give courtesies at the House to my daughter, Wendy. She's a constituent of Representative Witt. She graduated from Oregon State University about a year ago with a 3.98. She's doing her student teaching now. We'll be getting a master's from Concordia with a 4 point, and this is the type of people we need to be teaching our kids in the future. Thank you.
So nice to have you here as well. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I would like you to see in the upper section here, this is my daughter and her husband and family. They came from Medford to spend the week up here because of spring vacation. We welcome you to the Capitol.
Welcome. Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and the courtesies of the House and floor be extended to former State Representative and Congresswoman Darlene Hooley.
Representative Hunt requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and courtesies of the House and floor be extended to former Representative and Congresswoman Hooley. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Further courtesies. Verification of quorum. The clerk will open the voting system to determine the presence of a quorum. Representative Huffman excused. A quorum is present. Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that the Senate has passed Senate Bills 89, 127, 313, 314, 371, 373, 380, 404, House Bills 2045, 2170, 2195, 2197, adopted HCR 3, concurred in House amendments and repassed Senate Bill 96. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that he has signed House Bill 2562.
First reading, memorials and resolutions. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Special orders of business. The clerk will read the resolution.
H.R. 1, honoring Congresswoman Darlene Hooley for her achievements.
The question now arises upon final reading and adoption of H.R. 1. Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my privilege to co-carry with the good representative from Clackamas this resolution honoring a woman who's had a huge impact on Oregon. A lot of people know how the original story of how Congresswoman Hooley first got involved in public service, and it really was to her public service, not so much politics. It's the old story about her son falling down on the playground in West Lynn and hitting what should have been a grass surface or another soft surface, but turned out to be a hard concrete or asphalt surface. And that was unacceptable to her. So she began her first bid for public office in running for the West Lynn City Council, ultimately ran for and served several terms in this body, where she really made a significant mark. She chaired the Education Subcommittee of Ways and Means. She chaired committees on energy and the environment, had a huge impact on land use planning, on energy conservation, on recycling, on education in our state, and then went on to win a seat on the Clackamas County Commission, first being appointed, then being elected and reelected, and had a major impact in shaping what was at the time a very functional, strong Board of County Commissioners in a very growing, dynamic county. And then went on in 1996 to win a seat in the U.S. House of Representatives, where she has served many of us, and you'll see the co-sponsors of this resolution are Democrats and Republicans from throughout the 5th Congressional District, who really recognize the way she has stepped up and taken the lead on issues like identity theft, taking the lead on issues like fighting methamphetamines in our communities and throughout our state, and really become a national leader when it comes to protecting our veterans and our National Guard members and their families that they leave behind in terms of providing safety for them in the field and providing benefits for them when they return home and for their families that are here after them. She's got a record of tremendous service. I'm privileged to be a former staff person of hers and very much wear that with great pride. There are two lessons I think Congresswoman Hooley taught me and everyone who's ever worked for. One is there is no substitute for effective constituent service. That you can, and it doesn't matter who is calling you asking for that constituent service. It can be the most conservative Republican or the most liberal Democrat or somebody who's not even registered to vote. They
Congresswoman Hooley would constantly tell all her staff, they are your top priority, you've got to take care of them. And if you look at the admiration for her throughout the 5th Congressional District, you will see a lot of it is founded based on that effect of a constituent service, a good lesson for all of us. And secondly, one of her mantras, under-promise, over-deliver. We all, and this is, there's no better lesson for us colleagues this session than that lesson that she taught. Because as she has been a city councilor and a state legislator and a county commissioner and a U.S. congresswoman, obviously many people throughout those years have been asking her for this and for that, for this appropriation, for that agency action. And her consistent approach is to hear the concern, under-promise, and then work like crazy to get it done. And her record of accomplishment shows that the over-deliver side of the equation of where she is really is where she has really excelled, time and again, throughout all the offices she's held. So it's my privilege to stand up and pay tribute to her and open the floor for you colleagues to do the same. And now, Mr. Speaker, I'm happy to yield the floor to Representative Barton, my co-carrier.
Representative Barton, please speak to us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The representative from Clackamas County did an admirable job of highlighting her record of accomplishments. But colleagues, I'm here actually to share with you one black mark on Darlene Hooley's record. And that is that she is the person who inspired me to enter public service. And I can honestly say every time I crack a bad joke on the House floor, like I just did, the blame falls squarely with Darlene Hooley. When I was 18 years old, impressionable graduate from Newport High School, Darlene actually gave me a job. I went to work for her, and I opened her mail, and I answered her phones. And I learned more from her and that experience than any other job I've had. Darlene is the one who taught me that public service is truly a noble and honorable profession. It is a worthy undertaking. It is a privilege to serve our constituents. And I submit to you, colleagues, that in the history of this state, no public servant has ever mastered and excelled in constituent services like Darlene Hooley. It is an honor to celebrate your legacy today, and I truly aspire to carry it on in some small way.
Further discussion? Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that the other side of the aisle and the other side of District 5 needs to be heard from. Clackamas County is great, but Salem has been represented by Darlene Hooley for a long time. I have worked with her and found it to be a joy and a delight. Have so enjoyed not only her attitude but her responsiveness to the things that happen outside of Clackamas County, excuse me, Congresswoman, but down here in this area. I will miss her smiling face. I will also miss the vetting she gives my local folks when there are issues, national issues. I was called into her office a number of times and gotten in the loop of what's going on federally that concerns my community. You have no idea how important this is to us. Well, I think you as elected officials do, but it has meant a tremendous amount to our community. She's also been right there getting federal funds for important projects in our community, things that have helped not just our community colleges, which I'm aware of directly, but transportation issues, any number of things. She will be greatly missed by the Salem community, and I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank her publicly.
Further discussion, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I rise today in honor and appreciation for all that Congresswoman Hooley has done for my little corner of the district. She even has a legacy in Tillamook. It's called the Hooley Digester. This takes methane and recycles cow poop to methane to pick up the product, change it, recycle it, and bring it back as bedding for the cows in the dairy industry in Tillamook. It's up for an expansion this time. It's going to be making energy this time. It's making some electricity. Congresswoman Hooley has been a champion for the coastal communities in her district, and which benefits all of Oregon. She's been a tireless worker for us on the coast, getting federal attention to repair our jetties. She runs down to the coast, I don't know how many times, but it seems like we just see her, and there she is again. People call her Darlene. They don't call her Congresswoman. They call her Darlene because she's a friend and a beloved representative, was, and will always remain in our memories as one of the hardest working members of Congress. And I totally applaud and appreciate everything she's done. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, call her Darlene because she's my friend. But today I am honored to have an opportunity to vote on this resolution that signifies our respect for Congresswoman Darlene Hooley. Our relationship goes back to the days that we were both county commissioners, and I have been truly blessed to have been able to be a friend over these years. My district, Lincoln County, has nothing but respect for Congresswoman Hooley. Frankly, Congressman Schrader has fairly big shoes to fill. There's a little doubt that he can step up to it at this point. But I was on the radio on my weekly radio calls this morning and talked about the fact that we were honoring Congresswoman Hooley today, and the community sends their very best.
Further discussion? Representative Kamm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the resolution.
To the resolution.
Congresswoman Hooley, what an honor to know you. What a role model for my daughters. What a great teacher for all of us. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Bruin.
To the resolution.
To the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the Speaker gave a great sort of summary and analysis of your career. I think that, I like Representative Berger, I come from the other side of the aisle and equally appreciate the good work, of course, you've done over your career, but the excellent example that of a public service that you set. Colleagues, Congresswoman Hooley sets the perfect example of servant leadership, which is we're here talking about how wonderful she is and what a great job she's done. And the reason that we all know that, and there's not a single person in this room or frankly the state that has any doubt about that, is because she has done her work to lift other people up through constituent service and other methods. And it's a great role model for me. A lot of us that have lived in Congressional District 5 have been constituents of hers. I have the honor that she's actually my constituent. So now that she's back from D.C., and having you setting the model that you set, the pressure's on, and I'll be anxiously waiting by my email or phone should ever you call. So my hat is off to you.
Thank you,
Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And today we are here to honor Congresswoman Hooley, and I want to thank you for your service. And I want to speak as a person before I even thought about getting politically involved to be in this body, as somebody who I don't even think was ever recognized from either side of the aisle when I had to interact with the Congresswoman. And I remember going to Washington, D.C. to visit with other people, and she was gracious enough to invite us into the dining room to have lunch together, to just take time and spend with us. And one time I went back to the Capitol to visit with her, and for some reason, as we all know, our schedules get really busy. Now I understand this better than I did that day. And she was unable to meet with us personally. But a week later, I was driving in downtown Portland with my dad, and my cell phone rings, and it was the Congresswoman to say, "Kevin, sorry I missed you. What can I do for you?" This was a long before I was ever in this body, and as we've heard here today, the example of making sure that we are serving those that we've been elected to serve, you set a great example for me far before I ever was in this body, and I thank you for that and your service to our state.
Further discussion. Representative Hunt, do you wish to close? I apologize, sir. You will get your turn, but I neglected to see that Representative Barker has queued in.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Congresswoman Hooley, I want to thank you back in the mid-90s when I was lobbying for police officers and firefighters of the line, the rank-and-file cops and firefighters. I came back and talked to you, and you helped us. You signed on and led bills to help us with pension reform and other items that were very important to the men and women of America who work in the public safety, and I want to thank you personally once again for your help on those issues. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Kenemer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Congresswoman, I want to thank you as a county commissioner for 12 years in Clackamas County. You did big-time service for Clackamas County and really helped us a great deal, and just wanted to say publicly thanks.
Further discussion? Representative Hunt, this time would you like to close?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just briefly, to recognize that there are several former staff. It seems like, how can you have former staff? It seems like you still have current staff, but former staff of Congresswoman Hooley, I just invite them to stand. Several of them are on the side aisle here. Go ahead. Thank you for being here. Colleagues, it's really amazing that Congresswoman Hooley has served Oregon for over 30 years in public office. And we have an opportunity today to, in a very small way, thank her for those decades of public service and all the accomplishments that filled those years. So appropriately, this is House Resolution 1, and I'd encourage your support.
Those who are of the opinion that the resolution should be adopted will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. House Resolution 1, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. Propositions and motions. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 3465, relating to beverage containers and providing for revenue raising that requires approval by 3/5 majority. House Bill 3466, relating to medical health database maintained by the Department of State Police.
Bills read the first time are passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2168 relating to 911 communications. House Bill 2169 relating to sex offender reporting. House Bill 2246 relating to the consumption of alcoholic liquor by underage persons. House Bill 2426 relating to penalties for driving while under the influence of intoxicants. House Bill 2441 relating to confessions. House Bill 2481 relating to transfers of real property interests and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2521 relating to electronic signaling devices. House Bill 2599 relating to hostile educational environments and declaring an emergency.
Bills read the second time are passed to third reading. Consent calendar. Clerk will read the bill and a short summary.
Senate Bill 155, relating to Chief Medical Officers of State Institutions and declaring an emergency, requires appointing authority of Oregon State Hospital, Blue Mountain Recovery Center, or Eastern Oregon Training Center.
The question now arises. Senate Bill 155. I'm not having this question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 155. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will please open the voting system. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Representative Gilliam votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Nolan votes aye. Representative Jefferson Smith, how do you vote? Representative Jefferson Smith? Off the floor. Senate Bill 155A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
Senate Bill 271, related to fees of the Oregon Tax Court, requires that filing fee in Oregon Tax Court be paid at time of filing of complaint or petition.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 271. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will please open the voting system. Senate Bill 271, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Third reading of House bills. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2163, relating to military justice.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of HB 2163A. Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Honorable colleagues, I bring to you today House Bill 2163A. This year will see the largest deployment of members of the Oregon National Guard to active duty since the Second World War. For many of the men and women of the Guard, this will not be their first deployment. For some, it will be their fourth. Any deployment places a strain on members of the Guard and their families. Studies show that the multiple deployments significantly increase this strain. The Oregon National Guard assists members of the Guard who are about to be deployed or who are deployed with many of their legal matters they and their families face. The Oregon State Bar Military Assistance Panel, in many cases, does this free of charges. However, the Guard needs additional legal resources, and this bill will allow the Guard to appoint legal assistants who can assist the Guard's lawyers. This bill establishes that appeals from the Armed Forces Court of Appeals for Oregon go directly to the Oregon Supreme Court. It allows the Adjutant General to appoint judge advocate legal assistance for a period not to exceed 12 months, and it sets forth how a party appeals a decision of the Armed Forces Court of Appeals to the Oregon Supreme Court and the timeline for filing. Members, this bill was passed unanimously out of your Judiciary Committee, and I ask for an aye vote today.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Wisnant, do you wish to close? Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Representative Jensen votes aye. Representative Tomei, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Birthday Boy. I mean, Speaker. I request that we temporarily return to the order of courtesies.
We'll take that as soon as we finish this bill.
Thank you.
House Bill 2163 Alpha, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Tomei requests unanimous Consent to return to courtesies. Any objections? Hearing none, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, please extend courtesies today to my good friend Jim Bernard, who is on the Clackamas County Commission. He is also the former mayor of Milwaukee, took over that position after I left it. So he will be wandering the halls today. Please extend courtesies to Jim Bernard. Thank you.
Are there any other courtesies at this time? Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2278 relating to judgment remedies for child support.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of HB 2278A. Representative Stiegler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I rise today in support of House Bill 2278A as a practical solution to a problem that all too many people and the state of Oregon, quite frankly, incur. And that is specifically to extend the period of time under which a judgment for child support obligation is extended. Currently, that period of time, that judgment runs a total of 25 years, expires 25 years. So as an example, say a couple seeks a divorce and gets a divorce and there's a child support judgment entered when the child is 1 year old, that award would conceivably end, or would end, excuse me, not conceivably, would end when that child reached the age of 26. Now, mind you, that child support award would continue to accrue up until the child was 18 or 21 if the child was regularly attending school under our current state laws. So effectively, the last date that a child support obligation accrued, i.e., the month the child turned 21, there would effectively be 4 years left on that portion of the award and anything unpaid prior to that. What this does is extend that period of time out, that ultimate time for the judgment to run an additional 10 years. So it would extend it potentially until then that child past the 26th birthday to the age of 36, and understand that the judgment accrues to the obligee. So it's either the parent who is raising the child and paying the upkeep for the child, and or the state of Oregon if perchance the parent and the child have gone on some kind of public assistance. So this just extends the period of time within which that judgment, whoever the obligee is, has an opportunity to collect that judgment. It's a compromise bill. The original proposal was for 50 years, and this brought it back down to 35. And one of the things you should know, about half the states currently have no statute of limitations, so those child support judgments run forever until they're collected or the obligor dies. So this is a compromise position, and I urge your support.
Further discussion? Seeing none. Representative Stiegler, do you wish to close? She does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Shields, how do you vote? Shields votes aye. Representative Gelser, how do you vote? Gelser votes aye. Representative Thatcher, how do you vote? Oh, Thatcher votes aye. House Bill 2278 Alpha, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2343 relating to mental incapacitation.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of HB 2343 Alpha. Representative Gelzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2343 comes to you today at the request of former Attorney General Hardy Myers and Oregon's Attorney General Sexual Assault Task Force. Oregon remains, the reason this is such an important bill, Oregon remains one of a minority of states that makes a distinction in the law about whether or not a rape has occurred based on the behavior of the victim. It basically works like this. If an individual is at a point of incapacitation, they do not have control of their body, they're not able to make their own choices, and they are in that place because someone has slipped something in a drink that they are drinking, it is considered that they did not voluntarily become incapacitated, and therefore that becomes charged as rape. However, if the same behavior happens, that same individual is incapacitated to the degree that she does not have control over her body. She may be coming in and out of a state of wakefulness, and a person comes and takes advantage of that state. But that woman is in that state, or that person is in that state, because they voluntarily consumed a large degree of alcohol. We now consider, under current law, that that is not rape, and we base that on the behavior of the victim. Colleagues, that law was passed several decades ago, and in 2009, we now recognize that no man or woman ever does anything that causes them to deserve to be raped. If someone takes advantage of an Oregonian because they are in a state of incapacitation, it does not matter how that person became incapacitated. What matters is that a crime has been committed because that person has been taken advantage of. What our current law does, instead of protecting victims of sexual assault, it rewards perpetrators for good victim selection by looking around and choosing an individual who is in an incapacitated state due to the use of alcohol. We then don't prosecute that person because they've chosen them. On your desk, you will find letters of support. This is from the representative of Albany has signed one, the representative from North Portland, one from Attorney General John Kroger, and the other from the Attorney General's Sexual Assault Task Force. Colleagues, this is an important law that affirms the right of each of us to be safe, to make our own choices about the safety of our bodies. It says that no Oregonian ever deserves to be raped. I hope you will join me in voting yes in this important bill and helping Oregon's laws support that basic idea. Thank you.
Further discussion? The House will stand at ease. Okay. The House will come back to order. When we stood at ease, we were on the third reading of House Bill 2343A. Further discussion? Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 2343 be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Shields moves House Bill 2343 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, as the sole member of, or a member of the Ways and Means Committee on the Judiciary, it didn't occur to me until I read the details of this that this had a significant fiscal, and I think Ways and Means is the appropriate place to figure this out. I think we're all primarily supportive of the policy, and we will give it due consideration in Ways and Means. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? On the motion, Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the representative of the soul of Portland.
Does the representative yield to the question?
I do.
He does.
Thank you, Representative. You serve as the co-chair of the Public Safety Subcommittee on Ways and Means. Can you offer assurance to this body that this bill will get a hearing in your subcommittee?
Thank you for that question, good representative. It's my intention to do that. However, I'm not the only person involved in that decision. I have a co-chair from the Senate side as well as the co-chairs of the full Ways and Means. But I will certainly advocate for that.
Thank you, Representative. Question of the representative of Ashland, please.
Question of the representative of Ashland. Do you yield, sir?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
He yields.
Thank you, Representative. You are doing a great job as our co-chair of the Ways and Means Committee. Can you offer assurance to this body that this bill will get a hearing in the Public Safety Subcommittee of Ways and Means and due consideration there?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Representative, for the question. Similar to the co-chair of the Public Safety Subcommittee, I do have to negotiate, but it's my full intention to bring this bill to the attention of my co-chair, Senator Carter, and I have very little doubt that she will be having any problems with this bill at all. The policy is excellent, and this will be the type of bill we would like to see get a full hearing in the Ways and Means process this year.
Thank you, Representative. To the motion, please.
To the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this bill has a $125,000 fiscal for this biennium, and as is common practice here, it is important for bills that have an expenditure to go to the Ways and Means Committee so that we can appropriately vet how we are allocating our state resources and make sure that we do what we've all come here to do, which is to make sure that we have a balanced budget at the end of the biennium. For that reason, I am going to support this motion to refer the bill to the Ways and Means Committee with great confidence and hope that this bill will be heard, and with the strong belief that $125,000 is a very reasonable sum of money for seeking justice for individuals who have been victims of rape under a state policy that currently distinguishes between when it's a woman's fault and when it is not. And I do hope we have the opportunity to vote on this floor to make it clear once and for all in the state of Oregon that no woman deserves to be raped, or man. I urge your aye vote on the referral to Ways and Means, and I look forward to having this bill back on the floor. Thank you.
Further discussion on the motion? Representative Berger.
To the motion.
To the motion.
I am very uncomfortable with this process of sending it back to Ways and Means for the possibility of dying in Ways and Means when we have a policy before us that concerns rape, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a minor crime. This is an important policy decision, and we are kind of tying it up in our current fiscal process. This is a good bill. We are late in doing this. I am very, very uncomfortable with sending this to Ways and Means. I will be watching to see that it comes back as something that I can vote affirmatively for the sake of the women of this state. Thank you.
Further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Representative Shields, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of the opinion that House Bill 2343A should be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means will vote aye. Those will say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion to refer House Bill 2343 to the Committee on Ways and Means, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2453, relating to lawyer-client privilege.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2453A. Representative Barton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2453A passed Judiciary Committee without opposition. This bill is not nearly as exciting or as dramatic as it may sound. It essentially, there is a very small quirk in the Oregon Evidence Code that sometimes creates problems for businesses and corporations that hire a lot of independent contractors. This bill will replace that quirk with the Uniform Evidence Code that is enacted in every other American jurisdiction, and hopefully will clarify this area of law. It's a good bill. I urge its aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Barton, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass, the screen is frozen, will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Greenlick, how do you vote? Greenlick votes aye. Representative Berger votes aye. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Holvey votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Sorry? House Bill 2453A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 89, related to explosives. Senate Bill 127, related to financially responsible requirements for a motor vehicle. Senate Bill 313, related to evidence. Senate Bill 314, related to accident reports. Senate Bill 371, related to trust. Senate Bill 373, related to orders to withhold. Senate Bill 380, related to testimony and criminal proceedings. Senate Bill 404, related to attorneys and declaring an emergency.
Bills read first time or passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 394, related to property tax roll and prescribing an effective date. Senate Bill 395, related to personal property tax delinquency warrants and prescribing an effective date.
Bills read second time or passed to third reading. Third reading of Senate bills. Other business, House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's lovely to see you up there. You're doing a great job. Democrats, heads up here. 11:45 in the caucus. Please bring your lunch. Be prepared to work through until 1. Thank you.
Further announcements. I don't see this. Effective immediately, I am making the following appointments to the Special Committee on Workplace Harassment. Representative Sarah Gelser to chair, Representative Ron Maurer, Representative Arnie Roblin, and Representative Sherry Spranger.
Gavel.
Further announcements? Seeing none. Remonstrances. Representative Van Orman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm taking this opportunity to let everyone know the latest events in the sports world. Vanderbilt women are going to the Sweet 16, and they're taking coach Justin Van Orman with them.
Further remonstrances? Adjournment. Representative Jensen, 10:15 a.m. on Wednesday, March 25, 2009.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. Wednesday, March 25, 2009.
Representative Jensen moves the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. Wednesday, March 25, 2009. Without objection, the House is adjourned.